Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Snell Nation. So, today, I just had a few thoughts. And this is inspired by a news article that came out about a current debate, a bit of a tug of war, between Congress, members of Congress, and the Pentagon on who's going to cover the bill, the massive bill, from all the shenanigans from January and February of this year with the inauguration. And it's a hefty bill. It's actually about $521 million. We'll just say half a billion. We'll keep a nice solid even number, half a billion dollars. That's how much money, taxpayer funding, because as I've stated plenty of times before, the government doesn't have any money. Taxpayer money that actually paid for 26,000 soldiers from all 50 states and territories, I'm sorry, three territories, three of the four, going to D.C., being on orders for weeks on end. And I'm sure plenty of you saw a lot of the turmoil and the little scandals that came out during that time with, you know, soldiers sleeping in parking garages, things of that nature. Incredibly sad stuff. Just being used and abused from what I can tell, and just to further grandstand and virtue signal and, you know, just politics. But in this case, it feels like some of the soldiers being pulled into the middle of it. But that's what's inspired this. But I'm actually going to go back a little further. I'm going to go all the way back to June 1st, 2020. So, those of you that have listened to me before and that know me, know that, yes, I have a military background. I've got 19 years of service. I serve proudly. I'm here for the people. Those are the people that actually pay me, the taxpayers. But that's who I serve. And I found myself waiting. So with these, you know, high definition TVs, 4K Ultra and all that good stuff that we have, and our super high speed internet connections and all of our different devices, we're able to watch whatever we want to watch. I mean, we could stream just about anything. But what a lot of us, what we were subjected to is, you know, absolute chaos. And I remember seeing, you know, all of they're pretty much riots. They were quote-unquote peaceful protests for about a few seconds, and then they descended into absolute madness. But watching that, seeing just, you know, small businesses being burned to the ground, low-income houses being burned down, a lot of local businesses that have been around for decades being just totally looted first, always looted first, and then completely destroyed. Then seeing, I believe it was two police precincts, and this is in Minneapolis, that were just destroyed, looted to an extent, and then set on fire, graffiti, the whole nine yards. But with all that going on, I was sitting back and I wondered, well, where's the National Guard? Now, you had the Mayor Fry at that time, who, of course, was playing a lot of those political games and, hey, well, we don't want to really show or demonstrate any type of military presence or military force. But then at the same time, he was also ordering stand downs for his police officers, having them maintain a distance of so many blocks away from the rioters and the criminals. And then at one point, even having them, ordering them to abandon one of their precincts, which is one of the ones that was vandalized and set ablaze. So I see that. Then, you know, another week or two goes by, and then there's protests in Chicago. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. And I just was watching, and then once again, you know, mass just looting and destruction. People destroying a lot of small businesses, a lot of local businesses. Once again, businesses that have been there for decades, just being looted first, of course. and then just pummeled. And in a lot of those situations where the owners tried to fight, some of them were middle-aged, some a little older. These quote-unquote peaceful protesters physically assaulted many of them. And a lot of us saw the videos. And a lot of that stuff is still out there. You know, public knowledge, public access, it's not hard to verify these things that I'm telling you. But once again, I sat back and I waited and I thought maybe my phone would ring and someone would say, hey, you're activated and we need you to assist with something. I mean, with a cleanup, maybe assisting with some sort of security or helping organize some distribution center, something. But something connected to this destruction. Nothing. And, you know, I'm from the state of Ohio, and after so many weeks, we actually reached a point, in late June, where we had protests in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and a few other small cities. And in Columbus, which is the closest big city to where the city where I live, it was more of the same. You know, there were the peaceful protests, and then, you know, hundreds of people decided to start breaking windows and trying to steal things. And there was minimal involvement from local law enforcement to an extent. And at each time, the protests would start out one way during the day. Then as the sun set and it would go into nightfall, people would lose their minds. And once again, I just was sitting back and I just waiting for the phone call. In the state that I live in, the state that I serve in, and nothing. And you see this trend. And a lot of people, if you just step back and just take a look at your surroundings, and you start to notice certain patterns. So then I just didn't understand, like, okay, well, this doesn't make any sense. People are, in this case, people are literally dying. I mean, there were dozens that were killed, either participating in these protests or just being in close proximity to them. Some people were just going to the store or helping a friend. Case in point, the retired police chief in St. Louis, which I will continue to mention as many times as I can, David Dorn, who was a pillar in his community and was just trying to help his friend protect his business, and he was shot and killed, and his death was live streamed on Facebook. I think it's still there, only they added a disclaimer, you know, that's mighty nice of them, but it's still there. All that craziness, and you had people, you know, people that live in these cities, you know, screaming, asking for help. Well, like, where are the police? You know, where's the National Guard? Nothing. And you have all these outsiders and you have these politicians coming up with all these reasons as to why. And at that time, our president, Donald Trump, had the big target on him. And every politician at the state and local level, you know, used every opportunity to twist it into being some racist thing. And, you know, we saw that in D.C., Atlanta, and of course back to Chicago once again, where all these resources were offered to Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, that tyrannical mayor who doesn't know anything, doesn't know what she's doing, was offered all these federal resources to at least protect federal buildings, federal property, and she just kept pushing back. And it was the same thing in Portland, Oregon, with the mayor out there, Tim Wheeler, who had over 100 days in 2020 of chaos, riots, destruction, a lot of private property destroyed, a lot of government property destroyed, courthouses, just, you know, they threw Molotov cocktails and things at it. And it was forever. And then he allowed like a small footprint of federal agents. And then they even tried, the media tried to turn that into being some sort of militarization or, you know, it's some tyrannical move by the president, you know, just the usual stuff. But once again, no call, nothing. And as we go through the months, and I mean, I've witnessed, we had the pipe bombers in Philadelphia, which we've forgotten about. Dozens of people that were going around using pipe bombs to blow up ATM machines and try and steal money and components from them. We had 300 to 400 people in Chicago fake a police shooting, post it on Facebook and Twitter, and use that to distract the police. Had a fake small protest going. Meanwhile, 300 or 400 of them ran down downtown to the Miracle Mile and decided to run through and, you know, do the usual, loot and then destroy. We saw those same tactics used in Santa Monica, California, where they had 3 different protests going, and then one diverted around and started to loot and rob a lot of the high-end stores in that area. And the police were overwhelmed. And of course, at the same time, you had hundreds of police officers that were getting injured, because I don't know anyone that can sustain months and months of just endless unrest and conflict on the streets, no matter what your occupation is, with no help. I mean, a lot of these police precincts, they had limited resources to begin with. Then also their current budgets at that time were being attacked because of the whole defund the police, diverting those funds elsewhere. Then you had state, local, federal politicians fighting against military personnel, the National Guard, getting involved to support the police. You had all that going on, and you had locals, people that live in these cities, begging for help and did not get it. All that mayhem, no call. So we witnessed all that, and of course things started to slow down, you know, big surprise as we got closer to the election in November, and then there were new problems that came up after that. All the different scandals, all the irregularities with the Dominion voting machines and, you know, dead people voting, all that kind of stuff, having people admitting that the election itself, the voting process, is incredibly flawed. Ripe for corruption. Evidence of all these different dead people voting, double voting, you know, all that kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, the Supreme Court and different attorneys that tackled this thing decided, hey, there's no fraud there. There's nothing to see here, nothing to investigate. So then you had people protesting that, and also protesting lockdowns, and protesting the racial justice, because you have the occasional shooting that would pop up, which is something I always found interesting, the justice for this one guy who 9 times out of 10 usually has a criminal record a mile long, a line of victims that go around the corner. And in the midst of all those protests, people are dying at those protests, mostly black people. But that's just one of the things I think it's just kind of bizarre. But you have all that, no call. Then we roll into January. You have tons of people that submitted documentation stating, hey, you know, January the 6th, you know, there's estimated to be, you know, thousands of people are going to show up. We need additional security. We need additional resources. Those requests were ignored, including requests from the then president, Donald Trump, and it was ignored. January the 6th comes about. And of course, all chaos just breaks out. You know, people, not enough security, not enough Capitol police officers, not enough barriers, nothing. People just wandered on in, and Congress got what they wanted. They got their excuse for more legislation, an opportunity to beef up the Freedom Act, formerly known as the Patriot Act. So they get everything they want. More distractions for the public. People aren't paying close attention to the bloated federal budget and how the money's being spent. And then, of course, Congress used that as their reasoning for activating, you know, thousands of soldiers for the inauguration on January the 20th. And that was where it really was an eye-opener for me. when you've watched, let's see, over 50 cities descend into chaos and madness and people begging for help, screaming for help as their businesses were burned to the ground, their homes were burned to the ground, in some cases the people were in the buildings, in their homes. All that going on and not a single phone call. And then, what? A bunch of people get rowdy by the, you know, I guess you might want to call it the cathedral. If you get rowdy by the cathedral, by the Capitol building, oh, well, then now that's an emergency. Now that matters. And all these governors had no issues. Activation, activation, activation. 26,000 plus. A bill of $521 million. No real forward planning or thinking or trying to confirm exactly who's going to foot this bill. Will the National Guard be reimbursed? Just we'll deal with it later. Soldiers sleeping in parking garages, housing not properly coordinated, all the typical things when you do a rush job like this and you have people coming from 50 states and 3 territories. 26,000 for this inauguration, all based on a possible threat coming from the FBI, coming from quote unquote reliable sources. Just like that. But I had to watch months and months of just average citizens, the people that I serve, you know, the taxpayers, the citizens, the people I serve, but then to have bureaucrats, to have politicians just snap a finger and say, hey, yeah, we want thousands of people to come for this particular event. And then when it's over, all right, well, you guys go do whatever, you know, just cast away, whatever. It's just in, and now we it's like we can't even talk about it. I remember last summer in the midst of all this, you know, I have a lot of friends that are soldiers serving in different branches. And we all were asking that question, like, hey, is anyone going to get activated for this? We just watched a murder on Facebook. We just watched a whole building get burned to the ground. You know, we're watching thousands and thousands of people throwing knives and bottles and assaulting and killing police officers and all that stuff. So isn't this what we're for? Isn't this the purpose that we're supposed to serve? There's other duties and obligations, yes. But ultimately, are we supposed to protect the citizens of the country that we live in? Isn't it? Nope. You're supposed to sit and wait. And then when DC calls, the governors answer. And that's exactly what happened here. So that's just something I just found interesting. And it's something that you think about in a moment, but you need a little time to pass to kind of let things process. And then you step back, self-reflection, a little awareness, evaluation, and then you start to piece things together and look for patterns and ask questions. And that's my question. Why didn't the call come in 2020? And why did it come in January 2021? All at the expense of the constituents, all at the expense of the people that these political people are supposed to be serving. So I'm curious, what do you guys think out there? What are your thoughts on just a lot of this craziness and the obvious double standard, the obvious, you know, placating and puppeteering and, you know, propaganda-esque society that we live in and all the madness that's going on right now? And what lies ahead? Because the 2020s, we're only a year and a half in. We've got a ways to go, 8.5 more years to go. So fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Snail Nation out.